Okay, so yeah, I think you've got a lot to share on this topic because obviously you've been doing it for a long time and you've recently raised your prices and you've probably done it more than once, right?
This was our third base price change.
Okay.
I mean, like when taxes increased, the price increased with the tax. But it's
Right.
the third time that we've increased our base price.
Right. The tax increase was what, 2, 3 years ago? We did the same thing.
Yeah, and then there was the one before that too. So there was the increase from 5 to 8, and
And
then the
then,
increase from 8 to 10.
right. Okay, so so this is since you've opened, that's your third time.
Well, yeah. So we would have increased prices and then price increase. So if you count tax increases, we've done it 5 times. We've done it 3 times to the base, 2 times with taxes.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay, so you mentioned specifically the base pricing, so maybe a good spot to start would be, can you tell us a little bit about, or tell me a little bit about your kind of pricing structure? How do you charge fees?
Oh, well, we try as much as possible to have everything included in a monthly fee, with the exception of texts and then the bank fee.
Okay.
And the bank fee, but the bank, so if you're talking about, of course, the entrance fee, we charge 10,000 yen. We include tax in that because trying to charge 11,000 yen is just a pain in the rear.
Right.
And it's not that much of a price difference for a one-off. So 10,000 yen, but and that's per family.
Okay.
So once someone joins, everyone in the family can join for free
Right. Yeah, we've got
after that.
the same
Yeah.
idea as well. So the main
And
thing is the monthly fee, then you've got textbook or materials, then they
which
pay
is
the
once a
bank
year.
once a
The
year,
textbook
once
and the
every.
materials are once a year.
And
And
then
then the bank withdrawal fee is every month as well, but that's per withdrawal. So the more people in a family, it's the same price regardless of what the price is. I mean, it's
Oh,
the
I see.
same. The withdrawal fee is the same regardless of how much the actual withdrawal amount is.
Right. So it's just a per transaction.
It's a per transaction fee,
Oh,
correct?
that's smart. I don't think I think we just eat that cost ourselves. Do you make that is that clear in your pricing that you mentioned that that's taken out? Yeah.
It's clear from our Setsumei Kai
Okay.
like in the Setsumei Kai, we'll have a slide where we talk about, there'll be places with like a Ninkai-hi, Danbo, all these others. And then we say, no, we don't do that. We just have
Okay.
our monthly fee plus this little bank withdrawal fee. But then we
Okay.
mentioned, and that goes straight to the bank, straight to the
Right.
bank in the sense of not our bank, but yeah.
Right. So it's kind of, yeah, don't look at us. That's being taken by the bank. So
Yeah,
that's
that's
not
being taken by the bank.
okay. So you generate when new students start, you'll have a Setsumei Kai where you'll really upfront clarify all of the costs and price amounts.
Everything, yeah.
And you mentioned the shisetsuhi and stuff like that, which you don't charge.
Correct.
So tell me about how you kind of communicate that in the Setsumei Kai, and why do you mention the things that you're not charging?
Well, because two reasons. In the Setsumei Kai, this is actually not when they've decided to join, but when they're considering joining. And we mention the things that we're not because we want to point we're higher up on the we're more expensive than average in most of the markets we're in.
Right.
And so we want it to be like, yeah, we're more expensive, but we give you everything. A lot of places will look cheaper and they'll add in all these extra charges.
Right.
And we're not doing that. No surprises,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and so we're,
that
yeah.
go, please.
I was just saying, we just want to stand out and make ourselves appear more reasonable.
Right. Okay, no, that's useful. And in terms of new students joining, that's did they see your pricing on the site and all that as well?
They probably did.
So
We don't
it's
include our
public
price.
there and you do this at Setsumei Kai.
We don't include our pricing on any of our printed materials.
Like flyers and stuff, you mean?
Exactly.
Okay.
Flyers, brochures, whatnot. They never include our pricing. But okay. We do have pricing on the website.
That's interesting. We actually do put our pricing on our flyers, and I know that bigger companies would tend not, like, you know, the big chains and stuff would tend not to do that. What's the reasoning behind not putting the pricing on the flyers?
Two reasons. Number one, we don't want to have to reprint flyers if we decide to increase prices.
Smart. Yeah.
I mean, it gives us the flexibility to decide what to do. Right. And a website you can change easily, obviously.
Right.
The second one is, while pricing is important, we don't want to look like we're hiding pricing, which is why it's on the website. We also don't, if people are really examining pricing as a reason for coming, then they're right. Probably not a good fit.
Okay. All right. So that would be a good time to segue a little bit into. So you mentioned that relative to the markets that you're in, you're on the higher end of the range. So I definitely want to talk about that. What, if you don't mind my asking, what do you charge and what would you consider to be the sort of the average range where you are?
Well, okay. Our new prices as of April will be $9,500 per month. Now that's pre-tax. Mm-hmm. I always think in pre-tax, because when we're setting budgets, you know, the accounting, all of that is pre-tax.
Right.
So one second here. And I never remember the post-tax. I mean, the advisor, our office staff, we call them advisors, all know the post-tax one. And so that'd be $10,450.
Right.
For 42, well, they're really 50-minute lessons a year. They're 60 minutes, but the first 10 minutes is lobby time, homework check.
Okay. So, and you said 42 lessons a year?
42, correct.
Okay. And then the class, you advertise it as 50 minutes or you advertise it as 60?
We advertise it as 60, but we make it very clear that the first 10 minutes is homework check.
Okay.
So it's 50 minutes with the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it 60 minutes because we found students would show up right before the class was starting and then homework didn't get done and stuff like that. So we just extended it to 60 minutes to get kids to come 10 minutes earlier.
Right.
And then it came out with the bonus that it made it look the class look longer, but that wasn't the reason,
right,
for the change. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, length of class and like number of times per year, mm-hmm, can vary a lot. And obviously, you might have one school that's charging, let's use 10,000 as a, mm-hmm, that's a bit high, but as a you know, mm-hmm, a comparison, that might be charging 10,000 for 45 minutes, and another school that's charging 10,000 for 60 minutes, and obviously that 45 minutes is quite a bit. It's, you know, 25% more, right? It's a much more expensive fee. Do you think that the length of the class and the number of times per year, kind of, do you think parents are aware of that in terms of the value, or is it something that you've used to kind of justify justify the costs?
Number of times per year, this is all gut feeling. You know, mm-hmm, from dealing, you know, gut feeling based on interactions and so forth. But my gut feeling is that parents don't really look at the number of times per year that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would probably notice if we tried to go down more. We're at 42. If we tried to go down much more than this, I think they would notice, just because there would be a lot more days without class.
Right.
But I know other school, we used to be at 46.
Yeah.
And then we went down to 44. And then we went down to 42, and there seemed, I didn't notice any reaction on the part of parents or students to that once the change was made.
Right. Yeah. I suspect that that's very true. Yeah. We're still up close. I think, are we 46 or 44? I'm not sure, but we're up, mm-hmm, there. So when you made those, you didn't make those changes on a year where you had a price increase, or did you?
Correct. We made those on different years.
Right.
And so you could kind of say that we've increased prices in a sense. We've increased the price per minute, I guess.
Right.
But when we decrease less than numbers, we increase training days. So,
okay.
So there was an educational quality reason for making the change.
Right, right, right.
It was not a revenue increaser.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would guess well, actually, sorry, let me stop. Let me ask things more as questions and less as assumptions, because I do know certain things about you. But so emphasis on quality is something that I know you for. And so when it comes to things like adding more training days and stuff like that, do you think that this helps to justify the pricing, or in what way do you kind of make bridge the gap there or
I would like to think it helps justify the pricing. When we've increased prices, we haven't noticed a loss in student numbers. In fact, first time we increased prices, the next year was by far our largest ever intake of new students.
Wow.
I mean, that was a, you know, the that would have been 2012 or 2013, maybe 2014 or so. I'd have to look back at our history.
Right.
You know, it was quite a while ago. But I do think that pricing gives a statement about quality. So when schools price themselves too low, they tend to get the people who are just coming for fun English.
Right.
So a pricing can make a statement about quality. You can justify prices through quality, but that's more difficult because it takes time and delivery.
Can you, sorry,
Whereas
can you explain that a bit more? The last, the time and
in
delivery.
delivery, you actually have to deliver on that quality.
Right.
And for parents to see that difference takes time and a lot of explanation. Whereas looking at the price and assuming quality just happens really quickly.
That's very true, isn't it? I mean,
Yeah.
that's, yeah. People
And then
always say like they like Louis Vuitton because it's good quality, and I'm like, is it really though? Is it really that? Is it really that? 70 times the same price as my bag, type of
yeah.
quality, who knows? But
At the
certainly
same
that's
time, if
assumption.
Louis Vuitton was falling apart the moment you bought it, you know, so
You've got to back it up.
you've got to back it up to a certain extent, whether or not you're backing it up 70 times. Yeah, I mean,
Okay, that's
but
interesting.
they yeah, I guess they play off each other.
Right,
And
right, right.
so which is also why we work really hard on parental communication. All of our training days, for example, we're sending out a newsletter to the parents about what we did on that training day.
Oh, that's a really nice idea. Can you describe that just a bit more? Because I think that's not
Well, it
something
would
that a
be,
lot of people hear about.
this actually came out with the professional development team did it. So I'm actually not involved in the making of it, but when the training they're taking pictures during the training day, and there's not a it's more picture heavy with a little bit of explanation, not real text heavy. But then within about a week or so of the training day, one of the members will have created a document with pictures talking about the different things we covered, what we did, and one of the Japanese staff will have translated that into Japanese.
Okay. So
Yeah.
your parents will get a paper that they'll get a copy of that.
Right now, well, until now, it's been a paper version. We with our new communication system we've developed, we can send them a PDF link.
Okay, so some kind of PDF. Do you do any other kind of like do you use like Instagram or yeah, I guess that would be the big one.
Not well. Not well. That's what we
Okay.
really need to work on.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the takeaway from this is that if you are investing in professional development, why not let your customers know about it, right? In whatever way it is. So make that part of, yeah, your brand.
In a similar vein, I have two master's degrees in education and teaching certification in Oregon. That doesn't, I mean, there's a lot of school owners that don't, and they're wonderful school owners, but I am sure as anything going to play up the fact that I have them.
Right, of course, of
I
course.
mean, you know,
Yeah,
it,
in this market, it certainly does. It's quite meaningful, I think.
yeah.
Okay, so that's a really nice takeaway there to add in. So just a little bit more on the topic of pricing range and being at the upper side. So you mentioned your prices were, you know, right around that 10,000 yen.
Right around that, right.
For a 50 minutes or 1 hour kind of class. And what would be, what's your competition and what kind of prices do you think they're?
Looking around in the Yamagata market, I would say the competition, now the big chains like Aeon and Nova are, we're approaching where they are now. But the more local chains, I would say, are more maybe the 7,500 range.
Right.
Pre-tax. Or maybe even post-tax. Yeah, I think they're more in the 7,500 range.
Right.
And probably down in Kansai, it really depends, because they're the local community center English schools that are doing 6,000 yen.
Right.
And there are some others that are in like the more 7,000 to 8,000 yen area. So I'd maybe even say, I mean, you know, we're kind of, our schools are in the same area down here. I would say maybe in the 8,000, 7,000, 8,000 yen range.
Right.
Is maybe and, about average as well.
Right. So this is also useful, I think useful, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you. You've got schools in different areas, right? You've got Yamagata and now, Kansai or Osaka area. Is your pricing the same in both areas?
They weren't last year. They are becoming the same this year. But we have made it a specific policy that they don't have to be the same.
Okay.
So we pushed up prices in our Kansai schools last year, not quite as high as this year. And then we're pushing Yamagata up. So Kansai is not increasing actually very much. Yamagata is increasing a good bit, and we're making them the same to see where we land there.
Okay.
But I know Kansai might be going up, and then there's other school owners, you know, I know of like in Tokyo who are much, much higher in doing the same thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Right. So geography does count, but not necessarily as much as maybe some people think.
Well, Yamagata is number 40 or 40, depending on which statistics you're looking at, is 40 to four, number 40 to 42 in average household income of the 47 prefectures in Japan.
Right. Okay.
And we're charging about 10,000 yen.
Right. Which, yeah, so that would be generally higher.
Yeah. And so I do... Geography matters, and if you're in a really small town, you know, we're in the larger cities in Yamagata, but anyone in Kansai would not consider the larger cities even larger cities. You know, we're not, but at the same time, even in Yamagata, we can charge that much.
That makes
and
sense.
And we have 1,000 students in Yamagata.
Right. So pricing is not, you know, affected numbers at all, really.
No, we are by far the largest school of our type in the prefecture. I mean, there's the, you know, Peppy Kids and ECC Junior and, you know, the franchise style.
Right.
But, yeah.
So you do have like Nova or ECC or whatever in the area. So are they priced a bit higher still?
We don't actually have ECC, the full school. We only have the ECC Junior.
Right.
Franchise ones. The ECC Junior and the Peppy Kids are priced a little lower. Peppy has their huge materials fee when you join, though.
Right.
Nova, when I was looking, Aeon, I did the research. I think Aeon, we're still just slightly a touch, just a touch under Aeon now. And I think we might have put ourselves even or just slightly above Nova.
Okay.
But I would have to look at, I made a report for myself. I'd have to look at it again.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully I'll get a bit more of those numbers in the book. Okay. So currently, do you think with this increase, would you say that you're optimally priced, or do you think what would you consider to be optimal pricing?
Well, I don't know if we're optimally priced until we do the increase.
But you've already announced it, right? And that's
we've announced it. Yes, yeah. We've announced it, and we're still we're our some of our schools are doing really, really well in signups, some of them not as well. But if it was really a pricing, just pricing issue, I would expect them all to be struggling.
Right, right.
You know, so the price difference doesn't appear to be too high.
Mm-hmm.
I just from a feeling without research, and I'm not like putting, you know, supply demand curves together and whatnot.
Right.
It feels about right to me.
Right.
Feels too much more than that. And I feel like we would, even if we got more students, we would really be putting ourselves beyond what a lot of families could pay.
Right, right, right.
And it costs a lot to do what we're doing at the level that we're doing it at.
Absolutely, for sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yes. I mean, that's one of the things that I want to kind of hone in is the idea of optimal pricing. And I just, as you said, I think you don't really know. There's no way to know until you increase prices and see what the reaction is. Because mm-hmm. a survey obviously is not going to, yeah.
Do you mind if we increase prices?
Yeah, no, I'll give you the answer. So you save time. Yeah, silly. All right. Two other things I want to cover. One I want to cover is just like how you justify higher prices and then how you communicate a price increase. Yeah, go. Maybe we can get those kind of fit in together. So yeah.
Oh, yeah, they fit in together, but they are separate. On the justifying, I think this is a hard one in the sense that people really, really want to justify it somehow.
Right.
And you do want to give some reasoning. People want to know something, but I think people are too worried about a feeling like they have to give something more, or they have to justify, or they have, you know, sometimes a price increase is just a price increase.
Right.
You know, and like, so like the first year, the first time we did the price increase, we introduced before then we didn't have, you couldn't do makeup lessons. If you were absent, you were absent. And yeah. With that first increase, we introduced makeup lessons.
Right.
Our elementary students, we did 50 minutes. This was before we added the 10 for the homework time, but that, like I said, didn't really actually change anything.
Right.
We did increase our junior high school to 60 minutes because our junior high school, we didn't do makeups for, simply because mm-hmm. most schools only had one junior high school of each level, one class right. of each level. We could do a makeup, you know. So we played it. Yeah, we're increasing prices, but we're giving you this makeup system and we're increasing the length of the junior high school classes. And people were like, oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. You know? And then the second bit, it didn't really seem to make much of a difference.
Right.
And then the second time we did the increase, we said, you know, we work very hard to hire high quality teachers and it costs money to keep those teachers. You know, and to attract them. So we need to increase prices.
Right.
And we didn't add any other service. You know, we didn't try to add any other services or, you know, anything like that. And the reaction was almost the same.
Okay. That's interesting. So there is a justification. There's not necessarily adding of something specific, but
oh, yeah.
But you're emphasizing that. Yes. Like we're, you know, it kind of frames it as this is going, you know, to the teachers to an extent. It's like, it's not just like a cash grab. It's, you know, we're trying to maintain high quality, right?
Yeah, I get, when I say, you do need to give some reasoning, but you don't need to necessarily make them feel like they're getting more for that money.
Okay.
You can sometimes saying we need to charge more to maintain what we're doing.
Right.
Can be good enough.
And that's so true as well. You know, I've certainly in the last couple of years, the longer our teachers stay and improve, we continue to give them raises. And, you know, sometimes we feel a bit like, how much more can we raise their salaries without raising prices, right?
Yeah, we did have to set a salary cap.
Right.
You know, but unfortunately, it'd be nice if we didn't, but.
There's limits to how much one you know teacher can earn in terms of their time, right?
Well, I mean, they have so many classes they can do in a week. So many students can be in that class.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then in terms of the communication, can you get, let's get really specific about how you messaged. What did the message say? What other precautions did you take to make sure that it went over well?
First thing we did is we gave notice. I think we've always given at least 4.5-5 months notice. We right. shoot 6. I don't know if we've ever actually gotten the letter out within, you know, because 6 would be by the end of September, you know. But right. I think the latest we've ever gotten notices out was beginning of November.
Okay.
And this is for an April increase.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to know ahead of time. That's also, we're starting recruitment for new students in November, December.
Right.
We want prices to be clear then.
Right.
One thing I also have heard from others is like the concept. Well, I guess the term grandfathering has become problematic now. I mean, I'm not sure what other word to use, but
why is that? Why is that an issue?
Is
it a gender thing?
Well, no, it's not a gender thing. It's actually has to do with, if my understanding is correct, it has to do with voting.
Oh,
that,
okay.
In the South, when Black American citizens, and at that time, if you were born in America, you were an American citizen, you know, were given the right to vote. Then in the South, they instituted the literacy exams.
Right, right.
You had to pass a literacy exam in order to be able to vote. But then a lot of the white people weren't passing the literacy exams, and they couldn't have that because they wanted white people to vote.
Right.
And so what they said is, if your grandfather had been able to vote, then you are grandfathered in. And you.
I did not know that. Wow.
I did not know that. I mean, I just read. Yeah, I didn't know that until recently either. And so the term of grandfathering originally was a way to keep white people voting but having a way to legitimately, in their mind, keep new Black people from voting.
Right, right, right. Oh, that makes sense. Interesting. Didn't know that. Okay.
I did some research because I had heard about issues with the term Black grandfathering. And it was just like, well, you know, and so I did some research on it. I'm not, but anyway, we raise prices for all of our students.
Okay.
We did not. I know some owners that have only raised for new incoming students.
Right.
We thought about that because you just like, oh, raising prices. And we just like, well, no, we're just raising them for all. And it didn't hurt giving 6 months notice, like, or 5.5 months notice like that. We didn't find it hurt. And we were very careful in how we gave it. We didn't find it hurt our standing at all with our current students. That way we're not leaving revenue on the table. Because if it's only new students, we only incrementally get the new revenue.
Right.
And also from an accounting standpoint, our software now allows us to set different prices for different people, and it wouldn't be that hard. But before, and for smaller schools that are doing
right, yeah. That is a bit of a mess for sure.
It can turn into quite a bit of a mess. One other thing I would say is very important on the messaging is to not apologize.
Okay.
We had a situation, would have been, now this wasn't a price increase. This was, I think, the first time, well, it might have been the price increase. It was either the price increase or the first time when we went down from 46 to 44 lessons.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. You know, both times we put out. And the 46 to 44 and 44 to 42 was a big issue, big deal, because we had to have everyone re-sign contracts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because the student contract had has the number of lessons written into it.
Okay.
Whereas pricing you can change without a new contract. Or at least with our, because the pricing is not written into our contracts. So, and one of the school, the advisors at the school, one school was, and handing it out. And we had all kinds of problems at that school with parents.
Wow. Okay.
Because, you know, from that advisor, and she meant well. She meant well, but right. she felt bad making the change.
Right.
And so she was wanting to apologize for the change we were making. But what it did is it set this level of like, we are doing something wrong.
Right. Well, what I think is really useful about this story, if I can call it that, is that, yes, I think if you do a little bit of research on raising prices, often you'll see that don't apologize. And it kind of makes sense. But if you're not, you know, you might message it, but you might want to make sure that all of your staff also are aware that there's no need to apologize. In fact, don't apologize because you're not doing something wrong. Because otherwise, yeah, the messaging could get out the way that you don't want it to, right?
In a sense, that one time might have helped us because it became a story that
right.
every time there's a change now, all of the staff hear that story.
Right.
And now they're not just thinking, they're not feeling like they're apologizing. They're thinking, oh, I don't want to have any backlash.
They don't want to be the next story.
They
wanted to
apologize because they felt bad. They wanted to appease their feeling of feeling bad. But now they're thinking, oh, I don't, you know, I want to save myself from backlash. So.
Absolutely. Okay. That's interesting. So we touched a bit on the, I don't know what to call it, but the, you know, raising only for new students.
Whereas we raise for all students.
We raise for all students. And I think that makes sense. And I think that the reasoning for not raising for older students is just a fear of reaction, which is generally not justified, I think, in most cases.
I think for some owners, it is also comes from a feeling of loyalty.
Loyalty as well.
I don't want to make it just about fear.
Loyalty is a big one as well. It's you're not doing anything wrong. It's you're running a business. You need to make sure that, you know, it's sustainable, right? And often increases are part of that.
And one parent did take us to, and it was when we lowered the number, because it was when we lowered the number, not raising prices.
Right.
Because we had to ask for a new contract to be signed. We did have one parent take us to the consumer board.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They went to the consumer board and the consumer board was like, okay. And she's like, told them, and they said, well, you know, asking people to sign new contracts over time is fairly normal in business. I mean, it looks like it's a reasonable one. And they gave you, you know, half a year advance notice. And she's like, yeah. And they're like, well, why don't you go to another school? And she goes, yeah, but I don't want to go to another school. One person tried to complain once, and the Consumer Bureau's advice was, they give you enough notice.
Right.
There's go to another school.
Nothing to complain about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Okay. And so one thing though, however, with the different prices for new students and current students, I know this year you are offering different materials for newer students, right? Including your card, the cards, and also Gamerize dictionary.
Right. The Gamer, adding the Gamerize. Yeah.
So they must be paying slightly different fees, no?
Well, they will pay a larger one yearly material fee.
Okay.
So we are not, I know, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, as you know, with the Gamer, I mean, you know how the Gamerize fee system works, obviously.
Right.
the fee is monthly. However, rather than trying to add something every month, we just made it a 1 year. So we will just charge the full fee.
Right.
At the beginning of the year. So the ones doing, but that is by level. And that is not the, that is not the tuition for the class. That is the text fee.
Right.
So there, we already have different levels with different text fee amounts.
I see.
But all of our elementary students had the same price. It's just, so now the first year students will be at 16,000. We did raise materials fee from 7,000 to 10,000 for the current students.
Okay. So everybody went from 7 to 10. And then the new grade 1 students, or level 1 students rather, went up to 16.
They went up to 16, but they were never paying 7.
Right. Yeah. Because they're brand new students, or would some new, of them or
coming... they might have been coming from our kindergarten program, right. But our kindergarten program already had a 10,000 yen fee because we give them storybooks.
Okay.
So the old kindergarten classes were using a textbook, and we charged a 5,000 yen fee for the year.
Right.
Last year we changed to a 10,000 yen fee and started giving them storybooks throughout the year that we were reading.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but we also, part of that, I mean, legitimately, it was like, you know, the cost of the, we're, with the 10,000 fee, where we might even have to raise it a bit more because we're not making any money on that by the time we hand out books. But part of the idea was then that already put them at 10,000. So we didn't want the elementary fee lower than the kindergarten one.
Right.
So it was kind that of scaffolding them for an increase, but the next increase would not be, again, it would be, oh, well, it's elementary school.
Right. Of course. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. But for current students who have already been in elementary school, going from 7 to 10,000, we felt like we could justify 7,000 to 16,000, even with Gamerize, no offense.
Yeah, it's a big jump for sure.
You know, that's a huge, more than 100% jump.
Okay. Maybe just the last question. It's now a quarter to three, and I think you said you.
Yeah, I actually ended up that ended up moving. For other things, not, you know, yeah. So
okay, good.
So I can go a little bit longer if you, if necessary.
So. Yeah, I think we're almost there. What was it? What was I going to ask? So about materials fees. So that has increased, and obviously in line with things that you're adding into the materials that you're giving to the students. Would you say that that's part of your overall kind of profit margin as well, or is that kind of just part of the program rather?
It's, yeah, I mean, how we do the single materials fee just because it's easier, but we also really, really care about getting the students what they need. And right. What we actually found is we did increase the price from 5,000 to 7,000 once. We made sure that was in a year we weren't increasing other prices, you know.
Right.
But what we found is we were slowly giving them more materials.
Right.
But not necessarily increasing the fee.
Right.
And so I don't like to think, yes, we do now at the new price at the 10,000. It gives us a margin.
Right.
There. So it will help our cash flows on the year. Personally, I try not to think of material sales as a source of revenue.
Right.
I know it is a source of revenue and it's in my budget. You know, it's in my budget forecast. Obviously, I would be remiss as an owner not to have them in there. But I want to make sure my focus is on the lessons and the quality of the lessons.
Right. So the gesha, the monthly fees are, and that part of it is the core, right?
The core.
Yeah.
And we're charging the materials fee because we have to, and we're charging extra because, you know, we do need revenue from that and we need a margin. And also having just one set price also means that partway through the year we can give materials or do stuff like that without having to adjust prices and
right.
And things like that. If someone loses something, then we will charge them a fee, an extra fee for replacing it.
Yeah, our photocopy bill is insane.
Well, yeah, and that's part of where, you know, the materials fee covers that.
Right.
But we I don't think of it as a profit center.
Right. Okay. And is there any other kind of streams of revenue that come with the school, such as like study abroad or I don't know what else it could be?
We are trying to increase our summer camps.
Camps, yeah.
We're finding the summer camps to be a good source of revenue. Study abroad is a great motivator for students, is a lot of fun. We probably make about 10 yen an hour if you think by like the amount of money we make on it divided by how much time is put into planning it. And it's not a
right. No, that's true. We've done a little bit of that as well. And for sure, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
It's not. Yeah. I would say the summer camps. Yes. We're trying to improve those. That's where, you know, what David is doing, Chandler is doing with his place that on Lake Biwa could be quite interesting for him.
Right. Right.
Other revenue sources. We're trying to increase the number of extra classes we do.
Okay.
You know, but that's still class. I mean, that's still, you know, tuition.
Right.
But we're just trying to increase revenue per student.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know is something you try to do as well.
Oh, so you don't mean like specially like a you know, winter campaign or a test prep particular class or something, but like a, you know, another offering so the students can
We're programming in English, for example, we're starting this April.
Right.
Or robotic, this program is more moving robots, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, the delivery that came was our robots. So.
Oh, nice. You must be excited to open that up.
Oh, yeah, I'll open it up. Right off the top of my head, I can't think of a whole lot. Yeah, a lot of schools do those special like summer classes and stuff. The summer ones, well, like I said, our big one, the summer camp,
right,
would be that. But like special cooking schools and events, we don't use events as a revenue source.
Okay.
Our budget for an event is, we charge for events, but our budget is to make sure that we don't lose money.
Okay. So it's more motivation and what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, community building and kind of getting
community building.
Right.
We possibly could make more revenue on that. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of, and we find that the small lessons, when we try to do them, that the amount of preparation put into them by the teacher.
Right.
The revenue bump, it doesn't really make up for that so much.
Right.
You know, it feels like we're better doing what we do well.
For sure. It's insane how many hours of prep time you can put into like a cooking class. It's impossible to, if you count the hours that go into it, it's impossible to charge a price that would would make it worthwhile. But we do it anyways.
Yeah. We did a special dance event recently, and we did it because one of our teachers was a former dance teacher.
Okay.
And she wanted to do a dance class.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everyone was happy. They came away, but it didn't make revenue. You know, it wouldn't have been worth, it wasn't worth it as, if you think of it as a revenue source for the time put into it.
Right.
But
right
it was
right.
worth doing.
Yeah. If it's repeatable, if you can do it, if that same, she could do the same course many times over, it could turn into that. But as a standalone, it's tricky, right?
So I'd say, yeah, it's mainly our tuition and a little bit our materials.
Got it. Yeah, that's helpful. Thanks a lot. I think that's basically covers everything I wanted to talk about at this.